Hi, this is attorney Jamie Miller from the Miller Law Chronicles podcast. I'm so excited about this podcast that we're going to bring to you today. Today, we're going to talk about debt negotiation as an alternative to bankruptcy. So many times we have clients, they come in, they really don't want to file bankruptcy, which I get, or they don't qualify for bankruptcy and they want to know their debt negotiation options. And we've created a program in partnership with a good friend of mine named Matthew Lacey. And Matt's going to join us today and talk about debt negotiation options as compared to bankruptcy, and also as compared to those 1-800 numbers that we all see late at night to call to help us with debt negotiation. The huge thing I want to get to all of our listeners today is that you can have somebody, have a lawyer represent you, have someone that's accountable to you with debt negotiation. And we're going to work real hard with you to make sure we get those creditor calls stopped and we get the debts negotiated in a way most favorable to you. So really exciting, lots of great information that you'll hear from Matt, you'll hear from myself. I appreciate so much you joining this podcast and listening. If you like us, and I hope you do, please subscribe or like us at your favorite podcast place, whether it's YouTube, whether it is Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google, wherever you find your podcast, it would mean the world to us if you would like or subscribe. Have a great day and enjoy Matthew Lacey's conversation on negotiation. Hello, this is attorney Jamie Miller from the Miller Law Chronicle podcast. Today, we're going to talk about a subject that's really important and interesting. We're getting a lot of questions from our clients on debt negotiation as an alternative to bankruptcy. And today we have attorney Matt Lacey joining us who will talk about debt negotiation because that is what he does. He really is a master in debt negotiation with different types of debt. And we'll talk more specifically about that as we get into the conversation. But hey, Matt, how are you today? Thank you for joining us.
I'm good, Jamie. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. You and I have known each other for a short period of time, but I'm really impressed in the work that you're doing on behalf of our debt negotiation clients. But tell us a little bit about yourself, where you went to school, where you grew up. It's always great to get an opportunity to get to know our guests a little bit better.
So I grew up in New York City. I moved out to Boston to go to law school. I graduated law school from New England Law in Boston in 2021. Prior to going to law school, I worked for a national debt settlement company for a period of years. That's where I got a lot of my experience from. And then when I was in law school myself, I did a clinical as well as a clerkship doing the consumer litigation side of consumer debt and debt settlement. So I got a nice full view of both the prior to litigation and then during litigation as well.
That's awesome. And so what attracted you to debt negotiation? Why that as your legal career?
Well, it didn't start off like that. I would say initially I got into the debt settlement company after college. I just needed a job and have money coming in. And I wanted some legal experience as well because I was planning on going to law school. And that company offered me a bit of both worlds where I could make some money and save up as well as get some my hands-on legal experience in terms of negotiating. And then as the world changed into COVID, I just kept finding myself back into different scenarios that involved consumer debt. So kind of just led me down the path itself, I guess.
Right. It's amazing how you go to law school or you start your career. You would have never imagined probably 10, 15 years back where you are today. You just end up on this path. And our clients are lucky to have you. You've also had a fair amount of experience during doing bankruptcy law, consulting with clients that have credit card debt and that type of thing. And normally when a client comes to us, we'll talk about their different options. So it's a Chapter 7, which is a discharge of their debts, or a Chapter 13, which can be a repayment plan. We do a Chapter 13 in a situation where perhaps a client has too much income and they don't qualify for a Chapter 7, or they have non-exempt assets. And then in Wisconsin, we also have something called Chapter 128, which is a repayment plan that allows clients to pay back their debts in full over 3 years. So when a client comes in, our goal is not to tell them what to do. Our goal is to understand what their situation is and then lay out all of their options. And more, we're seeing clients where we're talking about the option of debt negotiation. And for that reason, we've forged a partnership with you because this really is your area of expertise. And we're always trying to work with people that can do the best job for our clients possible. And so that's the history behind why we are working with attorney Matthew Lacey on debt negotiation. But tell me a little bit from your perspective, what debt negotiation looks like as an alternative to bankruptcy.
Well, I think there's a couple different ways to look at it. I think you'll have somebody just from my experience of also doing bankruptcy law. Bankruptcy is a scary word for a lot of people. I think a lot of people get very nervous and scared about filing bankruptcy and think it's going to ruin the rest of their life. And now you and I both know that's not. But I think a lot of people look at debt settlement as like a safer alternative to bankruptcy where it's not as permanent for them, at least in their situation. For me, in debt settlement, I think it's a very solid way to go about trying to repay back some of the debts that you want. I know some people are very strong in their belief that they took out the money, they owe the money, and they want to pay that money back. Life situations come up before them, and they're not able to pay back the full amount, and that's completely understandable. So for me, I think it's a nice alternative for somebody who maybe, one, would have a very difficult time in a bankruptcy or doesn't want to go down the route of a Chapter 13. Or somebody who just wants a different alternative to help resolve their debt situation without going through a bankruptcy process.
And I'm a late night person. And oftentimes when I'm watching TV late at night, I see all of these debt negotiation companies that are having these commercials that are painting like this amazing picture of helping people get out of their debt and specifically getting out of credit card debt. So tell me a little bit about what your experience has been with these type of late night TV debt negotiating companies that you see versus the service that you're able to offer our client.
Yeah, I would say the commercials that you see on TV or online, whatever, they basically tell you best case scenario, it's all sunshine and rainbows for them. They usually try to tell you on the phone call that we're going to settle all of your debts for this percentage under 50% or less. Everything's going to be guaranteed under 50%. When in reality, it's not how that actually works in the real world and in practice. I think their lack of transparency for a little bit ends up getting more people annoyed at the end of the day with their program. I have a lot of calls of people saying, oh, I signed up with X, Y, and Z company and it ended up being a scam. I got my money taken from me in advance. They collected their fees and they didn't settle any of my debts. I think the big thing that we have here is the way the debt settlement program works is that we don't get paid until we get a settlement for you. We actually have to work your file and set up negotiations and settlements in order for us to even earn our fee. So there's no risk of you paying a bunch of money in to eventually go and lose it for nothing. On top of it, the way that my staff and myself work the files is it's not so much based on getting a very good percentage in terms of making my paralegal or my staff look good. It's more about getting you the best deal possible to make sure that you're not going to get sued or nothing comes back onto you that, you know, can affect your life down the line. So my staff has a lot more freedom in the files they can work and how they can go about working them as opposed to maybe somebody who's a number in a company that doesn't know anything about you on a personal level, working a file and just moving on with their life and forgetting about it. I feel like we have a much more personal connection with our actual clients. You speak to me on the initial phone call and then throughout the process, you're speaking to myself, you're speaking to my paralegals. We get to know you. We get to know what's going on with your situation a lot better. It's a lot easier to put a face to a name, essentially, even though we meet virtually, as opposed to just being a number in a system.
Right. So that there's accountability. And
yep.
You mentioned something as far as the fees go. I don't want to get into the fee structure, but at this point, because it's on a case-by-case basis, and we'll talk to clients about that as they inquire. But in general terms, when you're using one of these 800 number, you're paying fees up front versus how does it work with the way we structure our fees?
I believe in some instances, now I don't know if every single agency across the country is doing this, but I believe there are some that they want a monthly fee built in for themselves. And even if they don't do anything for you, they still get to collect that fee and keep it. Whereas here in our program that we have, that your fee is built into a monthly payment on a case-by-case basis that we set up for you. And if something doesn't work out or it goes wrong, you do end up getting refunded if nothing's been done on your file.
Got it. So if someone has a $20,000 credit card and we're not able to get that resolved for one reason or another, we'll take the case, try to get it resolved. But if it doesn't get resolved, there's no fee for doing it unless you find success.
Correct.
So there's really no risk.
There's not too much of a risk. You're not like you're not putting a bunch of money in and hoping something works out. It's more likely than not going to work out for you. Or if there's anything that goes wrong, you're going to get your money back refunded.
Right. And I want to talk to you a little bit about a scenario of how a debt negotiation works. You have a client, they come in, they have $80,000 in credit card debt on four different cards. They have $10,000 in medical bills and they have student loans. And bankruptcy is just not something that they want to do. What does your consult look like? What are you telling them? What information are you providing?
We go through a list of your creditors. Now, I would say the big thing in the way we work files here is we base your files based off of priority, which I think a lot of, and what I mean by that is we either look at one of your largest debts or we look at a creditor that we know is going to be pretty aggressive when it comes down to collection time and pursuing litigation for you. And we try to get that one set up first. So that way we can get that one off of your plate. It eases up some stress for you. You don't have to worry about having a $20,000 account hanging over your head, or you don't have to worry about looking over your shoulder every day, hoping that there's a service process there knocking at your door. And that could be any type of debt in terms of creditors that it can be. So I would say that's a big selling factor for a lot of people, is that we can probably take that debt that you've been worried about the most every night, keeping yourself up at night about, and settle that one first and get that one off your plate for you.
So if it's, they come in and they have that one creditor, it's $20,000. The creditors are calling all the time and client's scared of getting garnished. Tell me about the relief that you can give to that client immediately.
Oh yeah, there's certainly instant relief. I know the big thing is you're getting those robocalls 24/7. They're calling you nonstop. They don't answer the phone. Nobody answers, just a hang up. It gets very annoying. The power of attorney that I provide all clients basically cuts off that contact between the creditor and the client as soon as it processes in their office. That means the phone calls have to stop. All contact between the creditor and the client themselves have to stop, and the creditor has to go through our office. So it provides you some immediate relief in that instance, as well as, let's say you have an upcoming lawsuit or an upcoming garnishment. In our situation, since we are a lot more personalized as both a law firm, we have a responsibility to uphold to our clients as well. Those situations we can be way ahead of the game on. I can make my staff aware that, hey, this has a lawsuit coming up in 2 weeks. We need to get a deal on this account. And they can likely get one within 1 or 2 days prior to any hearing dates or anything like that coming up.
So the big thing is you're able to send out a letter to the creditor that has that power of attorney. If no lawsuit has been filed, it's really going to redirect that creditor to start following up with you rather than the client. Is that what the situation is?
Yep. And that'll also go, even if it's not with a creditor, if it's with the law firm, we'll have to go through our office. They won't be able to contact that client anymore.
And then what happens if it's already in litigation?
Not too much. It does accelerate the program a little bit for you, because obviously you're going to see results in a settlement a lot quicker than somebody who's not in litigation at this present time. I would say that we're able to move on those files very fast. I can make my staff aware that they have an ongoing litigation coming up and we need to get an offer for them set in place prior to it. And in situations like that, and I would say it's a big strong factor with us being a law firm that we're more familiar with that, I would say some of the national companies might not know the legal intricacies of the protocol itself, how the creditor collections court actually works. We have firsthand experience of all of that. So I'm pretty much a wealth of information for any potential client on any questions that they have about that situation.
What if there's already a judgment entered and the client is just got a notice of garnishment? What would you do with a case like that?
Yep. So in those cases, those are probably the highest priority of cases. Everybody knows that being garnished is not a fun thing. We are able to still set up agreements with law firms that are servicing those accounts that are trying to push for garnishment. We work with basically every single major debt collection law firm in the Midwest. We have very good relationships with all of them. So in a case like that, you may have to end up not getting as great of a settlement because of where it's at in litigation, But we were still able to set something up so your bank accounts aren't taken or you don't have any wages taken out of your paycheck each pay period.
Got it. So essentially, it's the creditor that is screaming the loudest is getting the fastest and most direct attention once a client retains.
Correct. And from my experience, I'm pretty good at pointing out, even if you're nowhere near having anything filed in litigation against you, that I know that this creditor is going to move fast. Let's just get ahead of the game and get the ball rolling on that one first.
Got it. And then tell me a little bit about the type of debts that'll work best with this debt negotiation program.
Yep. Credit cards and personal loans are the two biggest ones. I would say if you have those, certainly able to work out something for you on that. Some business debts are workable. I would say aside from the SBA loans or any of the COVID relief loans that small businesses received, those ones usually won't settle. But things like merchant cash advances and those we can probably do something for you on. Medical bills are more of a 50-50 toss-up. Some of them will be really good at negotiations. Other ones, they just want the full balance. And if that comes up in an intake or a consult with a client, I let them know that off the bat. So that way everybody's well informed of the situation. But I would say really the unsecured debts are the big wheelhouse of where you can get relief in terms of debt negotiation.
And I'll see people that had a car that was repossessed and there's a deficiency on the car. Is that something you can help with?
Yep. As long as they're not in possession of the vehicle anymore at this point in time, we can work that file just like you could like an old loan. Okay.
And then the other question that I hear is, what is the impact of debt negotiation on my credit?
Yep. And that's a big one I get on a lot of consults as well. The best way I describe it to everybody is, let's say you have a client that calls in and they're still current on their payments right now. They're a magic day range for them in order for them to be being ripe to settle is probably anywhere between 5 to 8 months of non-payment. Now, during that period of non-payment, your credit score will go down, obviously, as you're not making payments. I would say a lot of it depends on, one, how many lines of credit or creditors that you're enrolling in the program and how many you're keeping out. If you're making credit card payments on other cards that you're keeping in, it's not going to be as dramatic of a fall as it would be as somebody who's enrolling all 15 of their cards and letting them all go. Basically, your credit score will drop down up until the period that it reaches what's called a charge-off date. Now, that's a magical day for every creditor that varies amongst creditors. After that, effectively, your credit score plateaus up until we reach a settlement with a creditor. After you set yourself up on a settlement and you're making payments towards that, your credit score will start slowly climbing back up. And then once you've satisfied the settlement and it gets reported to the credit bureaus themselves, you'll get a little boost in your credit report as well because you have paid back some of that debt. And I can also share maybe a little bit of something that's coming up down the pipeline is we're starting to work with a credit counseling company as well that's going to be able to help clients learn about how to rebuild their credit, how to avoid making similar mistakes in the future, and also the payments that they're making into the debt settlement program can somehow get reported and reflected on their credit score as well.
That's awesome. And we work with a company called Seven Steps to 720. And any of our clients that come through the debt negotiation program, we're definitely going to engage them in the Seven Steps 720 program. It's a great program. When you probably get this question too, and how do you answer it? What percentage of your debt, of my debt, are you going to be able to settle? And that's a big question. How do you respond to that?
So that is the big question. That's the question everybody wants to know. Now, I always tell people you can't make guarantees on what percentages. If somebody's been doing something for years, it might change at a moment's notice without any heads up to us. Now, what I tell most people is depending on where your credit cards are in terms of how long you haven't paid and things of that nature, it gives me a much better understanding of what I can do for you. Now, the way I have it worked out here, which I would say differs from the national chain debt settlement companies, is I always build in an overage for a client. So the debt settlement companies will tell you're only going to have to pay 50%. Even though that's not always the case, they will lock you into that as well. So it ends up with a lot of phone calls that are most pleasant down the line. I like to get ahead of the game and build basically a coverage for both myself and for the client themselves. So I never have to call the client and say, hey, Jamie, I need you to add in $1,000 today in order to get something done. At the end of the program, whatever money you've overpaid is just simply refunded back to you. But I would say on average, you can expect to probably settle between anywhere between 40 and 65% on most debts.
I so appreciate your transparency on that, because we don't want to create expectations that we can't meet. There's nothing more frustrating than having a client come in and told information that's not 100% accurate and then not be able to meet those expectations. I really appreciate your transparency and honesty. And tell me, what are some common mistakes that you see people make when it comes to the decision whether they should do debt negotiation or not?
So some common mistakes I've seen over the past is really how you ended up getting in the situation that you ended up in. A lot of times when we're in negotiations, especially when it comes to negotiating with a law firm, they always want to know why the client fell behind initially on the first debt. For a lot of people, it's going to be, I had to lose employment, or I got divorced, or I had medical issues. And those are all reasonable expenses. I would say a lot of the times, shopping addictions and things of the like of that are going to be viewed in a negative light for you. And I would also say, if somebody who's a client would be reaching out to, let's say, a law firm or a creditor prior to speaking with us, they can say something that essentially puts them in a box that gets very hard to be dug out of if we get involved afterwards. Those are really the two big that I see a lot.
And one of the things that I see is procrastination.
Yep.
Is that I see people that come in today and they talk about it, and everybody wants to continue doing what they're doing and try to avoid the pain kind of resolving a problem. But oftentimes, dealing with the problem is the most important thing. And I have a colleague that always uses the term action kills fear. So taking action and standing up to your problem, getting it resolved, is always going to be a great step to overcoming the fear of moving forward. I appreciate so much your time doing this today. It was really informative. I think that in summary, if someone is considering bankruptcy, or from Wisconsin, they're considering Chapter 128, we're really excited to offer that kind of free consult with you to determine whether debt negotiation is something in the opportunity, in the arsenal for someone to consider over bankruptcy. And we're going to have that honest conversation. If bankruptcy is the right thing, we'll point you in that direction. If debt negotiation is the right thing, you're going to get all the information you need to make that best decision. But Matt, thank you so much. And any parting thoughts that you have?
No, of course. First, thanks for having me. I appreciate your time as well. And yeah, if you think that you want to make the next step forward and looking at exploring some debt settlement options, I would say best thing to do is pick up the phone and feel free to reach out, and I can give you any and all information you need possible to help you out.
Excellent. And to all of our listeners, if you liked what you've heard today, we're really able to continue to give this great information, but I would ask you to subscribe or like us. If you're on YouTube, you can subscribe. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Podcasts, please click that like button. It helps us to get reminders out to you of upcoming podcasts, but it also just allows us to continue to give this great content so more people can find it. So thank you to our listeners. Thank you, Matt, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you.